accession number 30249, reel 18.
Gordon Rushmer, reel 17. So, anything more about this second trip? It was obviously the tension had increased an awful lot, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, you realise you're in a serious war fighting area, and that keeps you on your guard all the time. Definitely, you have to find a way of coping with it, really, and even your living conditions. I mean, in those more sort of frontline situations that the guys are sleeping where they can and they're packed into fairly tight spaces a lot of the time. I mean, I found, because I live in a nice big house with lots of space, and I go into somewhere like, accommodation in Lashkar Gah. Not only is it very dry, dusty place, and you wake up in the morning and your sleeping bag, everything's covered in this layer of dust. I mean, you could do drawings in the dust after a night's sleep, but you find that you're, I mean, I suddenly found that the only space I'd got, the only personal space that I could really call my own, was the inside of my sleeping bag. I sort of longed to crawl into my sleeping bag, because that was the only personal space I got. Because as soon as you pop your head out of your sleeping bag, there's another six guys in the same room with all their kit, and they're all coming and going at odd hours of the day and night, because they're all on different shifts or different patrols, or and because I'm very much the outsider, a lot of the guys that I'm living with I don't know at all. I don't even know their names quite often. I'm wheeled into another bit of accommodation. I don't know those guys. They don't know. I could be anybody. But they don't know. I haven't got a clue who I am. I find that quite difficult sometimes. And you're creeping around like you're trying not to wake people up, and if you want to get out and go to the loo, you're creeping around, maybe they probably don't worry too much about that. If they live like that for months on end, then they can handle it. I find it more difficult to cope with.
And also they would be closer, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Relationships, yeah. Their comrades.
I'm in a uniform with no rank and no badges, and they haven't got a clue what I am. I could be, anybody. They're not unfriendly, or nobody's ever unfriendly, but I mean, they're probably just silent more than anything, because there's ships that pass in the night in those situations. But this personal space thing is quite important to me. I mean, I don't get homesick when I'm away or anything like that, but you just lay there sometimes and you do literally think, what the hell am I doing here? And how much longer do I want to do this? Have I had enough? Because it's not comfortable. It's not a pleasant way to live. And again, it probably goes back to, we're paid to do it, so you're not. But I do it because I want to do it. Nobody's forcing me to do it. I do it cause at the end of the day. Afterwards, like now when I'm talking to you, it's fantastic because I've done it, and boy, I get quite a buzz out of the fact that I've done it, even forget the painting, but the sheer fact that I've been in there and I've survived alongside all these really tough, really great people, and I've come out of it unscathed. Having only suffered a modicum of discomfort, it's quite an achievement for me to have gotten through it, because I'm just a civilian,
Will you go again, do you think? Have you any desire to go again to either of these places, Afghanistan, Iran?
If I was asked, I'd go. It's quite simple. Yeah. Although I have friends that tell me it's time I stopped.
How about your family? How does your wife, what does she think about this?
Shirley's very good in that she's always taken the view, well, if you want to do it, do it. She doesn't let on that she's worried. I guess occasionally she's probably apprehensive, but she doesn't let on, and I don't. It wouldn't help me for her to break down in floods of tears or say, I don't want you to go, it's too dangerous. That wouldn't help me at all. That would put me on a spot. And it's something that I came to it by accident, really, not design, but it's something that I discovered that I could do, but also that I absolutely loved doing. It's just being in the Boy Scouts, isn't it? With, you know, more toys, you know, but it's a hell of a job. It's fantastic, you know. And there's nothing that I've hated so far.
Do you feel part of this tradition? I mean, we've spoken about the word war artist, but I mean, you think of, and you know them better than I do, Goya and Picasso and all the influences, you know, that you've mentioned the more modern painters.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You are part
I feel
of
it's arrogant to say that I'm part of that tradition, but I suppose I'm part of the Revilius tradition, and a lot of art experts would probably not be pleased to hear me say that, but I am part of the tradition. I'm doing the job, and I'm doing the job as best I can. There are people that could do it better, of course there always are, but I'm doing it as best I can with you know, with the ability I've got and the, you know, yeah, I'm just making as good a job of it as I can. I can't do more than that, you know, but I've been given the opportunity, and I'm not going to, you know, I decided very early on I wasn't going to pass it up. For goodness sake, you run with it, go with it, for as long as you want to, really, you know.
And obviously your paintings, as you've been explaining right through this long interview, are in many different places, in private collections, as well as, you know, the military, the Dutch in particular, the Dutch Marine.
Yeah, I mean, the Dutch have probably 40 of my paintings in their Dutch Marines, in their official collection. And that's... there's something for me to be proud of, actually.
Yes.
You know? I mean, I doubt my own ability all the time, which isn't a bad thing for a painter to doubt their own ability. But I look at my own work and I'm horrified most of the time. But then I say, well, but you must have something. They wouldn't have bought it unless you had something, you know. it's a great honour to have work. You know, I've worked in the Dutch Marines collection, Royal Marines collection, Special Boat Service. I've got my stuff, Princess of Wales, Royal Regiment's got my work. The House of Lords has got, not my war work, but they have my work. National Library of Wales. Go on and on. I've stuck to my guns.
How about the Imperial War Museum? Have you ever approached the museum?
I approached the Imperial War Museum prior to my first trip to Afghanistan, but was met with a frosty response, I suppose is the polite way of putting it. I approached the Imperial War Museum and simply said, I'm going to be the first artist into Afghanistan. would you be interested in looking what I come back with? I didn't ask for a commission, I didn't ask for money. I simply said, you know, please have a look, there might be something. And I was told in no uncertain terms that I wasn't up to the job artistically. I mean, I don't want to labour the point much more than that, really. But I was met with... I was met with arrogance on the part of the Imperial War Museum. I didn't expect, even as an unknown painter, I didn't expect to be treated in that way. I was very annoyed, not to be rejected, but to be told that I wasn't up to the job. And I was called a military illustrator, which I'm not. I'm an artist, and I may not be a very fine artist, but I'm an artist. It's what I've done all my life.
Did the museum or whoever saw you at the museum actually look at any of your?
I sent a few pieces along. I sent some transparencies, etc., which they probably didn't even look at. I mean, I was quite conscious of the fact that that probably my letter had been misunderstood, and you know, the fact that I was simply asking for somebody to look. It was assumed, I imagine, that I was looking for a commission, you know. But there, that's if the keeper of paintings at the Imperial War Museum can't even read the letter and read between the lines. I found at the time it was very frustrating. It was quite sad. And my, my Royal Marine friends, of whom I have many, were appalled, but also laughed at the same time and said, well, they can do without you, but we can use you. Your work is something that we value, and we will commission you, we will take you and show you, and you can work for us, you know. But that whole episode left a bad taste, you know. And it's not until you phoned up. I mean, as far as I was concerned, at the time, I simply thought, well, Imperial War Museum can go to hell. In that case, you know, you don't need me, I don't need you. You know, I mean.
Yes, I think there have been a few changes.
Then you phoned out of the blue, and it raised a wry smile as soon as you came on the phone.
Well, Gordon, you never know.
No, you never know.
Well, but I must thank you for giving so much of your obviously very precious time, because you've got so much to do, for giving this very interesting and very lengthy interview.
Well, it's been a great pleasure on my part. I've enjoyed it.
And this might not be the end. Who knows, if you go off again,
we will see.
Come back again. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you.